This is Spectrum.
Alternative myth, homeopathy, secret society, hypnosis, the paranormal, alternative energy, UFO abduction, the weird, the wild, and the wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. I'm Scott Jordan here with my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Well, we had a bit of a break, a two-week break, a lot going on, major technical issues with computers, and life in general been getting in our way, but that's okay. That's no biggie. I mean, you know, we can't be here every single week, and we are, you know, we're open. Life happens. Other than that, it's okay. So, how you been, man? You been good?
Been okay. Could be better.
Could be better.
We're coming into the holidays now, and there's always more headaches.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Have you been a good boy all year?
No. Never have and never will be.
Right. That's good. Well, it's still been interesting. The Thrive guys are still going. Thrive. I got Thrive on the mind. We just talked to Foster Gamble. The Occupy movement's still going strong. They've been thrown out of the park and they moved back in and, you know, all over the country, over 4,000 cities now. But I don't think winter doesn't seem to be slowing them down too much, right?
Not at all. I think they're changing their tactics now, too.
I agree. Definitely. What have you noticed?
Well, I heard today, I think, that they are making some changes in their approach. Rather than taking over, parks and such, they were going directly in. To the business sectors and, having sit-outs and stuff like that, so, which might have more and more effect, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that's good. The thing is, it's got to evolve and change and react. And there's no real leaders, so there's nobody that they can pull out of the movement to make it crash, right? So that's the problem that the militant police are having is... they can't find the leaders, you know. Yeah. Usually what they do to squash this sort of thing is they take the leaders in and they have a sit down, talk to them and say, these are our rules and regulations, follow them, we'll give you a permit. There's no leader. There's nobody they can approach, really. So they don't know how to approach other than brute force, you know. Yeah. We know how well that works in history. Anyway, we've got a great guest today, Santo Bonacci, who talks about sovereignty and astral theology, all kinds of subjects. If you got a bio on it, could you read it, please?
Yeah, well, Santo Bonacci deals in the subject of reclaiming dominion, which is breaking the fictions of law, religion, and science. His studies span over 30 years, and recently has put together many things that will help people make sense of so much that's been going on in today's world and the future that we all face. He currently lectures in Australia on Global Radio on astrotheology and sovereignty law. This ancient fascinating wisdom which he is disseminating and teaching will have a profound spiritual effect on everyone's life. This knowledge will enable people to remember that which we already know. So let's welcome Santo. How are you doing, Santo?
Welcome, Santo.
Oh, very well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I'm glad to have you on the show. Glad to have you. So I've seen your videos. I think they're brilliant. I think you're doing a great job out there lecturing and getting the information out. We've had other people on the show, like Ben Stewart and Rob of the Page family, talking about sovereignty, earthships, getting off the grid. Of course, this is a big theme of our show, isn't it, Tom, is getting off the grid.
Oh.
You know, talking about... free energy and the energy inventors that we've interviewed in the past. So it's a big deal what you're doing, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I think the first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you, what got you personally involved in these areas of research? What events in your life led you to looking into this?
Well, I would say it's a continual evolution of consciousness that one goes through in life. You see, we get educated, we get drilled, we get taught what to think, we get steered along and prodded, and I guess one has to have a love for freedom and truth in the heart, in the soul, in the spirit. And I believe that one that strives for these good things, the humane things, the divine things, I think that they come to this awakening eventually. Eventually we all awaken. But there's great information out there, so it's we can access the information these days a lot easier, and this is what has helped many people. It's helped me, certainly. I was a Jehovah's Witness for 20 years in the 80s and 90s and through to 2005. Stopped going to their meetings. Why did I do that? Well, because obviously I was wanting to serve and know and do the right thing. I just felt that that was the right channel. Of course, I woke up to that and realized that was just corporate Christianity, what I call historical corporate Christianity, which really does not serve in the process of awakening. It does not serve in the process of soul transmutation. It doesn't serve anything at all other than mind control and to group think. And so I guess as one grows consciously and becomes aware of oneself in the universe and the unity of oneself with every other vibrating atom that exists, when you come to these realizations, then, you know, there's no limit. There is no limit to how we can think and know directly truths about reality.
Yeah, there does seem to be a lot more information coming out. I would say just over the last decade. Sorry.
Yeah, of course, I did my studies. Back in 82, when I was baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, I was very fortunate to bump into a few people that in the organization that were laterally thinking like myself, who recommended that I should read a certain book called Secrets of the Lost Races. By Reen Norbergen. And there I found that there's quite a lot of evidence that in the past the civilization was a much more conscious civilization. And they left artifacts which when archaeologists dig in certain sites and they find, you know, things like the Saqqara bird or the Baghdad battery or the Antikythera mechanism, for instance, they automatically put these in boxes and shut them away because these are what's called oop parts. Whoops. We're not supposed to find computers that are buried in the ground and appear to be thousands upon thousands of years old. Let's hide that one, and we'll continue to teach people Rome's consensus view of history.
Mm. Uparts out
so,
of place.
So I was very enlightened.
Uparts out of place artifacts.
That's right, out of place artifacts, exactly. And so that expanded my mind. Then I read shortly thereafter Immanuel Vygotsky's Worlds in Collision, Ages in Chaos, Akhenaten and Oedipus, and all of this, and I realised that there were great scientific minds out there that were thinking for themselves. A la Leonardo da Vinci, for instance. He said, if you find that the world's view of reality is in such a way and you find that it is different, that's the time to immediately discard that view and continue with your own findings. So that's what I started doing. I realized that people were out there thinking laterally. And so I kept these things in my heart, of course, and for many years, but of course I continued as a Jehovah's Witness because I thought they had the truth. You see, these were people who said who say that they wouldn't go to war and kill and that they love their enemies, etc. So they appeared in my eyes to be resembling the closest to Christ's message of love your enemies, love God, love your neighbour, and that's all you've got to do. So if he said it, and these people are proclaiming to be his followers, who go around killing and judging people and subjecting them to their ways. You see how Christianity came over to the American shores and decided, well, you know, we've got this God called Jesus and you've got this other sort of nature sort of God, and we don't agree with that, so we're going to just decimate your culture and decapitate your culture. And according to most of the Indians there, they tell that 300 million of their people were destroyed by this this coming of the wonderful Christian message from Europe. So you begin to see paradoxes when you study these modern corporate Christian religions. You see a lot of paradoxes. For instance, there's a lot of pedophilia being exposed there now, and I certainly saw a lot of cases in my time with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they were more interested in protecting Jehovah's name than denouncing the pedophile to the authorities. They would prefer to perhaps discipline him in-house and take away his privileges because he's offended Jehovah and he's sodomized a little boy or raped a little girl in the congregation. So we're going to take his privileges away for 6 months, and then if he promises to be good, we'll reinstate him. Rather than have that person jailed and to offer protection to little children in their organizations, corporate Christian churches are absolute harbors, restrooms, if you like, for pedophilia. You know, these are places where pedophiles can come to, and there's absolutely no protection for the little children. And you see that with, there's a great documentary maker in Canada called Kevin Annett. You would have heard of Kevin Annett.
Well, we just interviewed him in our last show. We went up to Brantford, did a live interview with Kevin, sat down with him and did a full 2-hour interview with him live and on site in Brantford. And we were at the We were in the area, and just beside us was the church that the Indian children were being murdered and dumped into mass graves. So they're doing an excavation there right now in Brantford, Ontario, Canada, and they're excavating the bones of these children that were beaten and buried, and the stories of the movie that you're talking about is called Unrepentant.
Yeah, I've been following Kevin's work for a couple of years now, and I'm just so happy to have this brother doing the work that he's doing for consciousness mankind, for the evolution of this race. He is a gem, and they've recently discovered in Europe, in Germany, some more bones near a monastery, and that's caused a lot of upheaval and a lot of talk on the continent of Europe. You see, corporate Christianity has got a lot of skeletons in its grave, in its closet. And corporate Christianity is the elite's pet death cult by which they administer mind control and all sorts of perversities on this planet. And my work has certainly exposed them. Their days are up. Their fiction is over. There's more than enough evidence, and the way I've presented the evidence, there is no way that the evidence can be debunked. In fact, you can take any one of my videos to court, to any court of true justice in the universe, and it will be proven that they are operating an absolute fiction. And it all goes back to Julius Caesar's family, the Julians, then the Flavians, and then Constantine's family. Over those 3 centuries, they managed to persuade the whole world that the historical version of Jesus Christ is actually the true one, when in fact it's not. It's the false one. They've created an idol, a savior God that will save us if only we believe in him, regardless of whether you're a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Mormon or a coffee drinker or a dancer or a smoker, because they all have their opinions about what God says. If you have contraceptives, you'll go to hell. If you masturbate, you'll go to hell. If you drink coffee or tea, and you only have to jump from one church to another to find that the picture that they've painted of their theocratic interventionalist fictional God is just their patented version of the fiction that Rome, who controls them all, has painted in the first place. And this fictional historical Jesus lie is the biggest that's ever been told, and it's the biggest and the most effective, and they've spent millions of dollars for thousands of years to keep it alive. And it's worked a treat. It's mind control at its best. And when we find who these Christian corporations are, you'll find that they are the Vatican. Here's one. It's quite a big corporation. It's called the United States. Not the Republic of the United States of America. The Vatican Corporation, which was founded in 1871 in the district of Washington, D.C., this corporation is purely Vatican, and they tell you. You see, in the Congress, we see the fact flanking the military flag of the United States, the corporation which is doing business with the world. When one finds that the Christian corporations, they are Vatican corporations run by the elites, they will find that, Americans will probably want to reinstate the true president of the United States of America, which is Abraham Lincoln, and probably rescind martial law, because every president since then who's run the corporation of the United States has signed on to martial law. So, in other words, the Constitution has been suspended since Abraham Lincoln, when the Catholic Church finally got its claws back on the continent. Because, you see, it was Hermetists like George Washington, Freemason, Jefferson, Franklin, and Thomas Paine. These were Hermetists. They were deists. They were not theists. And they founded the Republic based on Hermetic science. So, but the Vatican, of course, who claims to own the land since 1493, when they signed the Treaty of Tordesillas in Portugal, they believe themselves the rightful owners of that continent. So when the Hermetists founded the Republic, that piece of paper, that constitution, that Bill of Rights, we cannot have that under the heavens. People will be free. And this is our farm. We own it. We control it. So by hook or by crook, it took them 100 years, but they got in. And the Vatican is in. And that's why Ronald Reagan signed the Concordat in the 80s with the Vatican. So it's a pure Vatican show. Sit back and watch the FEMA concentration camps and the martial law and homeland securities, because the Vatican's in town.
Yeah.
And they kill. The Inquisition is on. It has never gone away. Slavery is on. It has never gone away. In 1815, when they abolished unlawful slavery, they didn't tell you that they were keeping lawful slavery.
Right, right, exactly.
They didn't tell you that they were starting new ways of setting up the farm.
What is the Roman cult, and how does that relate to the courts?
The Roman cult is the church arm of the morphed Roman Empire, and It morphs all the time, you see. In Constantine's days, he took charge as both Pope, or not Pope, but head as Emperor of the Church and the Empire, you see. Church and state. So Church and state became one. This is a Roman concept, you see, whereas the Hermetic founders of the Republic of the United States of America, they separated church and state. Oh, yeah. but because they should be, because there should be no religion directing government, you see. And they knew that, and they knew that that would be the best way to have a free republic, because what happens is when the elites use mind control through religion, idolistic corporate religions, because that's what they are, they're idolistic. They have a fictional idol, you see. When they get together and they have, as Jordan Maxwell says, two hands of the same body, the government and religion and government, all sorts of trouble occurs, you see, because you can manipulate people's minds. And what the Vatican has done has been very, very careful and very clever to co-opt the common law and the sovereignty law that was being the staple of justice for many, many centuries in many countries, in particular the Republic of America. What they've done is they've introduced their Inquisition and their canon law and administering of their canon laws side by side in juxtaposition with our free sovereignty laws, you see. So what happens is they've created these trusts, Sestwi KV trusts, and there are three of these, and they go directly back to the 14th and 15th century when certain popes enacted certain bulls, papal bulls, and by which they attached these trusts. And these trusts, the first one was in 1445, I think, that's called, let's see, we have Attorney Regis, we have Convocation, and we have Pontifex Maximus. These are the three papal bulls and trusts through which the Vatican is administering our justice, you see. So when we go to court, we have a... an ordinary. The judge is an ordinary. Well, an ordinary is someone who has power by the church to execute the church's orders. You see, that's what the judge is doing. That's why he's dressed in black. These are the colours of the Church of Saturn, the Latin Church of Saturn, you see. So that's why they have Latin language and a lot of Latin terminology, like summons and a writ, prosecutor, etc., cleric. All these are inquisitional words. You see, a cleric is a clerk. A clerk is a cleric. A scribe and a notary, for instance. Scribe and a... Well, scribe is to write, and vene comes from indulgence. So these guys write indulgences, you see. So they are administering the sacrament of indulgences through the courts. So when you go to court, you go to a hearing, and you are summoned with a writ. You see, writ comes from ritus. A rite is a church rite. So... you see, when we attach ourselves to those trusts by virtue of the corporate fictional name, we then are surety for that paperwork, that court paperwork, you see, and then we have to wear the costs because we're surety for it, you see. So what they're doing is they're monetizing sin. They are, in effect, saying, well, you have a treasury of forgiveness in heaven with Jesus Christ, and... we are administering that treasury so that we monetize sin, and because they are looking after all the souls on the earth, which goes back to the 1302 papal bull Unum Sanctum, they have declared in their claim of right that all souls must be saved and subjected to the Catholic Church. And the Church of the expression of the Church is salus extra ecclesia non est in Latin. And that means outside of this church, there is no salvation. So this is how they can herd us into their courts, their illegal courts. And you see, what strikes me as very, very noteworthy is the fact that none of the so-called Protestant churches are alarmed or appear to know about this system of enslavement. Somehow they're pretty tacit about it, which would imply complicity. And I've put the challenge out to all these corporate churches. Why do the priests on a Sunday morning not tell the adherents that are coming in with their pockets full of cash, hard-earned, sweated cash, and they put that cash in the donation boxes? Why is it that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and all of these buffoons are not telling their people that the Catholic Church is actually running the whole world, and with the aid and help of none other than the Protestant churches? Because if they all stood up and said, hey, listen, people, guess what? You've got some trusts, and in fact, those trusts are worth millions of dollars to the bankers. That's why the bankers are so interested in those trusts, the bankers of the Vatican. And the Vatican is harvesting your energy through IRS taxes, their third-party collection agency, and the Federal Reserve currency that the Vatican prints up through the aid of the Rothschild bankster families. Why is it that the churches are silent on all of this conspiracy? Well, because they are complicit, you see. They are Vatican-owned, elite-owned corporations. And it's so sad to see good Christians, what we call good church-going Christians, it's so sad to see them like sheep going to these filthy churches of mind control, where not only have their millions been stolen through those Vatican trusts, they're also donating more of their hard-earned money and donating their money by consent to the IRS when the IRS says, hey, we need half a year income, thanks, and it's called tax. Not only are they quiet and silent about all these crimes that they must know the Vatican is performing under their noses, surely, I mean, I know for a fact that the 11 or 12 members of the Jehovah's Witnesses governing body are all legally trained. They are graduates of secret society schools, law schools, and they are all chosen. They are all lawyers, all ex-lawyers, pretty much like your scumbag politicians. They love law, legalities, you see. Vatican, cardinal, canon, law, crime, legislation. Now, I know that they're smart people, these people who run the 30,000-odd registered corporate Christian churches. They're pretty smart. They're switched on. They know what they're doing. They know about the law and legalities, and they must know that we're all linked up to these trusts, and the Vatican is siphoning gazillions of dollars through these trusts. And you know what? They're silent. And when their little empire falls, which it will in the next few months, these complicit people who have attached themselves with very, very unhealthy negative forces will be prosecuted. And the churches will be discovered. It will be discovered the kind of business that they are up to, the business of soul harvesting and killing and murder and bloodshed and land grabbing, etc. That's all they're doing. That's all they are. They're not Christians. They don't follow their Lord who says, love thy enemy. And whoever picks up a sword or any killing implement will be judged by the universe, and all of the atoms that are vibrating in love will judge those actions, and it will be a sorry day. It'll be a sorry day, the day these people who are walking around in human bodies, but they are animal in evolution, it'll be a sorry day when their bodies are when they die, because their souls ain't got much of a good place to go to. And I'm not talking about their fictional hell either. I'm talking about the fact that they will not ascend. Because this is what hermetic science is all about. Hermetic science is freeing. The churches are enslaving. Hermetic science tells you that you are divine and that you are Christ-like and of a spiritual source. You see, we humans, we are of the spirit causes, and we are having fleshly, bodily experiences. We have incarnated. But our incarnation obviously cannot last forever. In fact, we have lives which are getting shorter and shorter all the time. I mean, 80 years, if you can live to 80 these days, that's pretty good. We call that in the Commonwealth countries, we call that a good innings.
Yeah.
That person has had a good innings. 80 years. And, you know, you're kind of happy when your grandmother passes away peacefully at the age of 85. You think, well, yeah, you know, she's starting to get arthritis and amnesia and all sorts of things. So she's gone away. Where's she gone? Well, hopefully that spiritual person that was deep inside that body, that regulated that body from the causal planes, hopefully it has done the good deeds and transmuted. I'm referring to the word apotheosis. So that's a Greek word which means to become divine, to transmute and to morph, like a caterpillar, you see. There are two stages in the human evolution. There's the intelligent human beast, according to Hermes, and there's the conscious human being who separates himself from the lower evolved human animals.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's what the hermetic science is all about. And the reason why the churches want to give you a vicarious savior is because they are thwarting your soul's true scientific approach to evolution and transcendence and ascendance back to source. They are thwarting that process. And they are harvesting souls by doing such. And that's a crime. In the universe, anywhere in the universe, that is a crime. These people are crimesters. They are they're animals. They're not evolved. They appear to be intelligent. These people, you know, they're very, very powerful, these elite families. Mm-hmm. And they appear to have great intelligence. Well, they might, you know, because animals do have intelligence. But they are unconscious beasts gallivanting on this planet, wreaking havoc, raping the earth, pillaging it of its resources, polluting it, destroying it, and rule or ruin is their motto.
Yeah, I agree. Tom, it's like we said with Kevin Annette when we were talking to him. The world is upside down. The way that the things are running or appear to be running by our consent is upside down. You or me or Santo or, you know, any number of previous guests I can mention would not do the things that is being done at these levels. Because, generally people are good. You know this.
Yeah.
But generally, the thing is, everything is about control, though, you see? It's always been about control. And you know, this has been going on for thousands of years, and I think it's reached a point right now that people are starting to get a little bit of awakening because of people like Santo and many others that we've had on, you know, to give people a little bit more information to start opening their minds.
I agree. I agree, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If we would have had the internet in the 60s, it'd be all over. Because these events are...
Maybe not all over, but it certainly would have helped out a lot.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. These events happen in waves. This is not a new thing that's happening. The Great Awakening is just a continuation of the Great Awakening. Back in the revolutionary times. It happened back in the 60s. It's happening again now. The only thing we knew is just to get pushed over the edge. If we just make it over the edge, and then you have mass consensus, you know, then it'll work out. Otherwise, it'll just go back to the old system.
And you just mentioned the point about critical mass there, Scott. What a good point. Because what are these corporate churches actually doing to contribute to the critical mass of consciousness, whereby all of us on Earth at one time can actually know for sure that we are sovereign, free human beings of divine origin, and we have no controllers, no one. No one is to control us. There is no one who has the right. They have no right anywhere in the universe, anyone. So what are the churches doing about that? Well, this is what they're doing. They tell you, oh, brothers, you little sheep, we are slaves of Jehovah and we have no rights. But one day, this good person called Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago, will return and restore peace, and we'll all get along and everything's going to be nice. So in the meantime, let's just suffer, and blessed are the meek and the poor, and blessed are the stupid and the ignorant, and blessed are you, oh yes, I know you're suffering, but look, it's only around the corner. I mean, Jesus has been coming for 2,000 years, people. Keep waiting, please. Yes, of course, because these are vomitous. These pastors, pastor means from the stars, actually, in Greek, para astros, means from the stars. What are these pastors doing? Are they teaching the stars the way they're supposed to be? Or no, they're not. They haven't got any idea about precession. They haven't got any idea about the cycles. And a minister, a moon star, is he teaching about the moon and the star? What about a cardinal? Is he teaching about the cardinal points of the zodiac? And the deacon, is he teaching about the 10 degrees of the zodiac? What about the bishop, 3 degrees of the zodiac? What about the elder? Is he teaching us about El, the sun, and Saturn, the way they're supposed to? They are supposed to be fully, fully trained and educated astrologers and astronomers. They are supposed to know the stars because they themselves call themselves pastors, ministers, bishops, cardinals, elders. These are star names, you see. And they deny astrotheology, the buffoons, because they can't read their own documents. I mean, here's a little story. Let's talk about astrotheology, shall we?
Yeah, because this is interesting because I'll just put a plug in for you. Your YouTube page is called Mr. Astrotheology.
And yeah, I'm a real pastor. I'm a real minister. I'm a real astrologer. You know, not like these idiots who are standing in the place of God, and as Jesus himself says, it is better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and hurl yourselves into the sea if you are going to stumble any one of my little children. Because you yourselves are not going into the kingdom of the heavens, you prevent these. And these are the buffoons who are standing on the pulpit. You know, your Benny Hinn types. He's smacked out on cocaine, and he's speaking, you know, in tongues from the devil himself, which is absolutely, I don't know what filthy animal spirits are possessing that creeps mind and body. But you rest assured, guys, don't be mistaken. When those Pentecostals get out there and say, oh, we're talking in tongues, rest assured that they are directly inhabited by animal forces. And this is another reason why they've concocted the fiction of Satan the devil and his bad angels who have fallen, and they're mischievous and they're causing all this trouble out there in the world. No, it's them. It's the churches themselves that are fermenting the trouble and dividing mankind with their labels. Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, Gnostics, whatever. They love their little labels. Here, put this label on you, Mormon. Here you go, stupid little Jehovah's Witness. Put this label on you. Go off like a buffoon and teach our patented version of Christianity. You know, they are there. They are conspiring against us in service of the Vatican to keep critical mass from happening, the 100th monkey syndrome. And when their crimes are found out, and they are, Kevin Annett's doing a great job, and then many other soldiers, and we will prevail, because evil can only destroy itself. Now, here's a real easy little easy portion of the stars, which is going to happen very soon in the Christmas season. Christmas is a very, very special time, okay? The Christians have their little nativity scenes, you see, and in those nativity scenes they have little baby Jesus, and there's Mary, the Virgin Mother, and she's holding little baby Jesus. You see, Jesus is a baby on the 25th of December. Now, I wonder why. Well, let's have a look at the scenery a little bit closer. You'll find that there are shepherds, and there are flocks outdoors, and there's a couple of animals in the manger, because, you see, Jesus was born in a cave, in a manger. And if we look up above, we will see that there's a star, the Star of the East, and it is resting directly above the inn where the child is born. And, of course, there are three wise men who have come from the East. And these three wise men bring frankincense and myrrh and gold and silver and gifts to the son that is born, the newly born. Well, guess what? Christians, you've been busted. The story is in the sky. And this is how it works, guys. You will notice from now on, and I'm talking Sagittarius and Capricorn, but in particular, through the sign of Capricorn, when you look up at midnight, you will notice some very interesting stars. And they all correspond, especially on the 25th of December, through to the 4th of January, perihelion day. Perihelion means the Earth is the closest to the sun. So from the 25th of December to the 4th of January in particular, you will see an amazing alignment of stars, which are actually the nativity scene that Christians are using, but only up above in the stars. And here's how it works. Now, that star that hovers over the inn where the child is born on the 25th of December, that happens to be Sirius. At around about 1 to 2 o'clock at night, from now on, through the Christmas season, you will be able to look up and you will see the brightest star in the sky, Sirius, shining directly above. Directly below your feet will be the sun at midnight. And so you will notice an alignment immediately. Sirius is up, the sun is down, and you are standing on the Earth, the planet Earth. So that's an alignment. Now, and that happens between the 25th of December through to perihelion, the 4th of January. A perfect alignment, direct alignment of those three bodies, three celestial bodies, which proves that we are in the star, a star system with Sirius, if not a binary. Now, you will also notice that the three stars, the three very bright prominent stars of the belt of Orion, are generally pointing to Sirius. Not far away from Sirius, there you'll see the three bright stars, the three shepherds, and they have come from the east, because that's where all stars come from. They rise in the east and set in the west. So at midnight, though, you'll happen to catch them directly above, you see. And on Christmas Eve, midnight, the 24th of December, you will notice, if you look to the east, Virgo rising, the Virgin, the mother of the Son below your feet, which has happened to be born. And why is it born on the 25th of December? Well, simply because the Son has been still for 3 days on the horizon, at the solstice after the 21st of March. It stands still. Now, it's an awesome experience when you notice it. If you watch the sun setting and rising, you will notice that it travels from one point to another, 47 degrees of travel, from one solstice in Cancer to the other solstice in Capricorn on the horizon. And you can watch it every day, moving, nudging forward, little bit by little bit. You know, so, but on the 21st of December, you will notice on the horizon, for 3 days, there is not a bit of movement on the horizon. There is only stillness. But on that propitious, auspicious moment in time, every year, midnight, on Christmas Eve, the sun begins to journey northward to the summer solstice. So that is the birthday of the sun. And there is the Virgin on the eastern horizon, and the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is on the western horizon, just about to go down. And below your feet, where the sun is, in Capricorn, there is a constellation called Alfric. And it's an asterism in the constellation of Capricorn. And Alfric means the flock, you see? It's like a little flock of sheep. And next to it is another cluster of stars, and I forget the name right now, but it's called the Shepherd. You see, so this is why in the nativity scene, you see the shepherds outdoors with their flocks, and Jesus is born in a manger, because Capricorn is directly opposite Cancer. And when you look up, when you look up at Sirius, you will see that Sirius is in the nestled between the constellation of Gemini and Cancer. And right next door to Sirius, you will see a cluster of stars that is in the middle of the constellation of Cancer. And that cluster is called the Manger. You see, so, yeah. It's also called the Beehive. You can check it out. Just Google it. Just Google Cancer and you'll see that the main asterism is called the Manger. The Beehive. Now, Gemini, the twins, are auspiciously also up there. They are also looking down, Pollux and Castor, at this very, very, very precise moment of the solstice. You see, so what these church-going people are doing, these sheeple, is that they are missing the whole point of the gospel, and they will never be conscious of the true gospel and what it is telling. And all through the year, the stars are telling forth the season. Why do we have Halloween on November the 1st? Ah, well, because you look in the east at midnight and you will see the precious Pleiades rising. And in Job 38:32, God says to Job, "Ah, can you see the sweet influences of the Pleiades?" And they have named that special day every year Halloween, the hallowed days. Now, why would they be called holy days? Why would Halloween be holy? Well, because the Pleiades have risen. They've returned. See, stars that disappear in the west every year will go into their grave, into the wilderness, for 72 days, which is exactly one-fifth of 360 degrees. That's exactly how long it takes for the stars to return on the eastern horizon once they've died in the west. You see, the west is where you die. In fact, the Egyptians say, when you die, they call it westing. The person has wested. His soul has gone to the west. Because as those stars go down below the horizon every night, you see them. They all go down. They are being judged. They're going down into the wilderness. And once you lose sight of those stars early in the morning hours, the last stars that you see, when you begin to notice that those stars are no longer there, you have to wait 72 days to observe the stars rising heliacally in the east. So this is why Sirius disappears for 72 days. And this is why 72 days is the average human heartbeat. It's 1 degree of precession. It's average room temperature. It's average lifespan of a human being. And see, guess what? Churchgoers are never, ever going to know any of these precious truths. And all of these holy days are going around, the equinoxes, Easter, Pentecost, the Festival of Tabernacles, the Festival of Booths, the Transfiguration of the Sun, the Ascension of the Virgin. They've got no idea what these things are. They think that this actually happened on the physical plane. You know, they really do. And yet, when you go back in history, you find that all the characters that they're talking about are actually missing in action. Absconditio.
Right, exactly.
And I've proven this beyond a doubt. There is no doubt. There will never be a debunker out there that will be able to debunk the information that I've shared on my videos, which come from great scholars like Gerald Massey, Dupuy, Volney, Godfrey Higgins, Manly P. Hall, Alvin Boyd Kuhn, Illuminists, men who knew, men who were not believers, simple-minded believers, who believe in a non-coffee-drinking, bearded, non-dancing, theocratic, interventional fiction. Mm-hmm. No, these are deists.
Right. So they were more into the alchemy of things. And by alchemy, I mean the transmutation of the self, of the individual. And going back to what you said about the sun doesn't move for 3 days, and then it moves 1 degree. It resurrects. The sun comes back to life. It stopped for 3 days, and then it moves 1 degree, or the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N, resurrects.
Yeah, there was a church father, Cyprian, and he's quoted as saying, "Oh, how fortuitous that our Lord God gave us that our Lord Jesus was born on the same day as our son." Very fortuitous. In fact, it's one and the same story, for goodness sakes. Children are supposed to be taught these stories for teaching purposes only, for memory, for aide-mémoire. You see, but then they're supposed to be awakened to the fact that these are stories which have great value. These are great stories. Here's what Christians are missing, churchgoers. Notice what happens after December the 25th. The sun starts growing, and 30 days after the sun is born, it enters the sign of Aquarius, January. January is Janus. Janus is John the Baptist. Because January used to be called the baptismal month. Because in the Northern Hemisphere, the sun is being baptized with the wet season. It is raining. And when the sun goes through January, that's Aquarius. And you see, he's the water bearer. He's pouring down water on the sun. So January the Baptist is preparing the son. He baptizes him for his yearly ministry. And off the son goes. And he goes through the sign of Pisces in February. And of course, good Christians eat fish, as above, so below. And then finally, the son reaches the equinox, March the 21st. And guess what? The son has finally overcome the forces of darkness. The son has struggled in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and then finally Jesus comes into his ministry, in the sign of Aries, where John the Baptist is there to baptize him, and John the Baptist says, "See, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," because now the sun is in Aries, and Aries is always, forever, will be the sign of spring that ushers in the longer days and the shorter nights. Because when the sun crosses the equinox on the 21st of March, the first Sunday after the first full moon, all Christians around the world celebrate Easter. Easter meaning the eastern star, the sun, the sun Jesus. You see, so how do they honor Jesus? On the 14th of Nisan, the full moon. You see, they have to wait for the full moon. I wonder why Christians are waiting for the full moon First of all, they're waiting for the sun to cross the equinox, then they're waiting for the full moon, and then they wait for the first sun day to celebrate Easter Sunday, the resurrection of the sun. Yeah, I would say because the sun is now resurrected. You see, the sun has been away in winter for 6 months. Spring is the Lamb of God that says, sun's back, we're going to have some fruits and flowers, and we're going to eat again. So of course you celebrate Easter, because Jesus is resurrected. The sun has impregnated the earth, and the blossom of Aries generates all the fruits that we put into our body to sustain us. That's why our sun, Jesus Christ, the orb in the sky, is our saviour. The light of the sun is our saviour. And you see, Christians are missing all this. And I can go around. I mean, I've just done one quadrant of the zodiac. I can go on ad nauseum, and I've missed a lot of detail in there just so that I can get the main skeleton across succinctly, and so I don't ramble on for hours. But look, there's in my astrotheology videos, I probably scratched the surface of the information that I would like to share. If I had the means, which I don't really have, to be able to do a presentation every day, I would have a million of them out there, and they'd all have different information because there's an abundance of it. And guess who's missing out on it?
Right.
The people who are waiting for Jesus to come in the clouds. Well, Jesus comes in the clouds every day. Just raise your eyes up, and there he is. Hallelujah, the Savior. You see, what they miss out on is all these beautiful truths. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, no one goes to the Father except through me. He is teaching a great alchemical truth, a great hermetic scientific truth, and that is that our souls and our spirits must go through the portals of those Father fountains of life, which are suns. And those suns are all of them, they are all directed, connected to the cause, the prime creator. They are the first ones in line to know the cause. They are the Father fountains of life, and they are portals by which our souls will return to cause. The Egyptians knew this science. They knew it. It's not hocus pocus. It's not believe and you'll be saved. It's not demon worship. It's not, you know, it's not all these concoctions that Rome has been eagerly propagandizing around the world, telling people that Egypt is the place of demons and jackals and all sorts of spiritistic evil practices. No, it's a science museum. Every edifice there was erected for a scientific purpose, to teach us about geometry, mathematics, science, preservation of life, ascension, how to live your life, how to breathe, how to think, how to be sovereign, how to know and not to believe, how to understand reality and metaphysics, how to know who you are, as above, so below. Man is the measure of the universe. Everything inside of our bodies is the direct image of Adam Kadmon in the sky. You see, when the Bible says, and we have made man in our image, what it's saying is the image is upstairs, the stars. They are the atoms of the body of the God, and we are made in exactly the same way. Holographically, we are a microcosm of that pattern. It's all fractals. And this is the beautiful science that is in the Holy Bible. And churchgoers are killing because Jesus was a Galilean. No, he wasn't. He was a Jew. No, he wasn't. He was a Nazarite. It's a bit like a Monty Python show, isn't it? You know, The Life of Brian. Let's go to a stoning, shall we? There's a person who's just uttered the name Jehovah. Surely we can't let people get away with that.
Yeah, and it's like another Monty Python one where Andre, the waiter, the French waiter, leads you to an come with me. I have something to show you. It's very important, and he leads you on this long trek around and down through the streets and in through the woods and over into the fields. And then he shows you an empty field. And he says, you know, then he gets mad at you for not being overwhelmed by his revelation. And that's sort of what the power structures are doing. They're leading us on this entertainment and political and all of these other levels of control. We're just taking you to nowhere. They're taking you to an empty field. It's anything to distract you from yourself. If you were to sit quietly and contemplate, then you might learn something about the universe.
Yes, woe to the soul who finds himself in the flesh and pursues all the worldly entanglements. For whoever loveth this world cannot love God. And who is God but you? There is no one else out there but you. We are all united in this one mental consciousness that the universe is. It's a mind. It's the mind of God. It's a mind. Mind. Universe is mind. The first hermetic axiom. That's the one that the initiates mastered first. Universe is mind, and that mind is Pymanda. And Pymanda revealed himself to Hermes, which is the right brain, by the way. It's not a historical person, although it is. It isn't, and yet it is. For instance, in the East, they call Hermes Buddha. So Buddhism is Hermeticism in the East, but it's a different school. It's not the same as the Western Hermes. It's not the same. It's slightly different, but it's a different language, saying pretty much the same science. And Hermes is what reveals. See, when we grow in our consciousness, we shift our consciousness over to the right brain, which is the imagination, which is what separates human beings from human beasts. You see, Einstein said imagination is better than knowledge. But in the universities, they pump these graduates with knowledge. This is how it is. This is how it was. And you see, then they go off and they've got their PhDs in history and everything like that, and they're just repeating Rome's indoctrination, Rome's lies. Imagination. And why would Einstein have said that? Well, like I said before, Leonardo da Vinci said, if you find from your own experience that something is a fact and it contradicts what some authority has written down, then you must abandon the authority and base your reasoning on your own findings. You see, people are not thinking for themselves. They're happy to think with the herd mind. But when you discover that you are one in your consciousness with God, with everything that is, guess what? The bread and circuses, they don't work anymore. And Rome, her circus of divide and conquer and bread and circuses and perennial wars and all sorts of scandals, scandalous behavior, inquisitions and crusades and torture and killing of people like Giordano Bruno for teaching the truth, hermetic truth. they could get away with it once upon a time, but they're not able to anymore. People have awoken to who they are, and these creatures, these filthy, dirty, animalistic creatures, are attacking them in every arena. In every way, they are attacking our sovereignty and our rights and suspending the Constitution. So much so that you've got a buffoonery of corporate criminals in government. You see, look what happened with last week. I think it was with the Congress that voted to have pretty much they can just come into your house and collect you and take you away, and no one needs to know where you've gone.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. They put through, and they're sneaky about it because they tried to get this through once before and it was slapped down. But they added it to a defense bill that passes every year. So they snuck it in there. And I think they're still doing some work to sort of, the good guys, what there are still doing some work to try to get that bit removed and remand it, but Yeah, that was come in, hold you without just, you know, you're a terrorist, come with me. And no, you're not allowed to have a lawyer. No, you're not allowed to speak to anybody. We'll hold you. It's military court is what it is, and military court is the Vatican court.
Trouble. It's big trouble. It's big, 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 big trouble. It's the Inquisition, you see. That's what they used to do hundreds of years ago. They used to take people away, never to be found ever again. It's a sad indictment on this wonderful republic, which is the United States of America. It still is a republic. It still is a republic, and people just need to wake up to that fact. Once they do, the Constitution is reinstated, and everybody shall be able to live by those rights that they have. And they do have rights. We do have God-given rights. Of course we do. We are free. We are sovereign. That is a natural right. And the corporation of the Vatican that has taken that away by virtue of its trusts and its corporations is behind the enslavement. And I really think that, I know that the churches are complicit in this. And many, many churchgoers will be very, 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 very sorry to have aligned themselves with such dark forces which are conspiring to help, you know, things like military tribunals to go ahead. Because, you know, Christians are being taught in their churches, oh, it's a good thing. Oh, it's a good thing because there's terrorists out there and the governments are trying to do their hardest and their darndest to get rid of terrorism. Well, I wonder whether the CIA would be behind 99.9% of the funding for terrorism like Al-Qaeda, etc., and they've been exposed many times.
You mean LCIADA?
LCIADA. And, you know, churchgoers... Yeah, well, churchgoers are not going to worry about that, though, because Jesus is coming, he's going to fix everything, and he's going to spank those naughty governments on the bottom, and we don't need to do anything. In fact, we don't have any rights, we're not sovereign. But one day we will be. That day will come, won't it? Surely it will come.
Sure.
That's how they go. It's like Mark Spitz, you know. Remember in the 70s he won 7 medals?
Yeah.
And you can imagine if you read his biography or talk to him, he can tell you how many mornings he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to do 150 laps every morning to train. He didn't sit at home in front of Fox TV and eat popcorn and cherry ripes and Mars bars and scratch his bum and then turn up on Glory Day and beat everybody in the pool. And this is what Christianity is reduced to. A bunch of ignoramuses, basically, who don't know anything about their own theology and their own astrotheology, which is sticking out like dog's genitalia in all of their works. It stands out. I mean, Jesus and his 12, Jacob and his 12, the 12 pillars in the temple of my God, the 12 trees in the paradise, the 12 stones that Joshua erected in the middle of the Jordan River, the 12, oh my God, every second page has got something to do with 12 in it. I wonder whether that would be the Zodiac and the Capricorn and the Aries and Libra and Taurus. I think it might.
But how do you think the church has developed this Jesus hoax all along throughout the ages now?
Well, they've done it because of the ignorant state of the plebeian masses, you see. They've done it. They've been able to pull it off because people don't know any better. They get taught. They've been taught. If, first of all, they tell you that our calendar, our Julio-Gregorian calendar, is based on the birth of such a historical person, Jesus Christ. Interesting. There's no evidence of it. Not a shred. Where's the evidence? I mean, when I look at the evidence, I see all the inscriptions on monuments all around the world tell you clearly that the god of this common age was Caesar Augustus. The calendar is based on Caesar Augustus. History tells that absolutely clearly. There is no doubt. Only for an ignoramus buffoon would the date of 2011... or the common era, Only for an ignoramus would that be based on a historical Jesus, because it's not. It's based on Caesar Augustus. The world knows that. The higher echelon of thinking mankind knows that as a fact. It is absolutely a fact that Julius Caesar and his adopted son Octavius, who was Augustus, they are the ones who invented this slave calendar. They are the ones who pinned it to them. It's all pinned to the empire. The Empire of Rome is 2,011 years old. That's what it is. It's got nothing to do with some Jewish prophet. Absolutely nothing. This is buffoonery. It's not a shred of evidence. Even though you might find millions of books by so-called scholars that talk about how, you know, Jesus walked the earth and this is what he said and this is what he does, you will never be able to prove that in a court of law with any kind of facts at all. There's not one fact that supports it, not a shred, not a one, not even the so-called secular writers Tacitus, Suetonius, Josephus and Pliny the Younger, not even there, which is their only extra-biblical documentation of Jesus living. For a start, Suetonius doesn't even mention Jesus. Tacitus doesn't even mention Jesus. Josephus certainly does, but it's an interpolation, and it's a massive fraud by the Catholic Church.
Well, Josephus was caught in all kinds of, creative license.
Yeah, you'll find that he was the Apostle Paul and other characters, if you read the revelatory book by Roman Piso, and he is one of the Piso is one of the most powerful family in history. In fact, they've had emperors on the throne from the days of Vespasian. And interesting that Josephus was called Flavius Josephus, because of the Flavian dynasty, you know, the guys who built the Flavian amphitheatre for bread and circuses, the Colosseum in Rome, Vespasian, Titus. Now, and Titus was such a megalomaniac and killer that he had an arch erected to his imbecilic stupidity, and on there he shows the Jewish menorah and all of the spoils from the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Basically, what they did was they shut down a mystery school which was churning out Jesuses by the thousands. You see, all around the Mediterranean school, the mystery schools were churning out initiates in the Hermetic wisdom. And the one in Jerusalem was no different. That was a mystery school. And the ordeals that the initiate was to undergo very closely resemble the ordeals that Jesus, the supposed historical Jesus, went through. For instance, being whipped, carrying your cross, being crucified for 3 days and then being resurrected, etc. These are all Masonic initiations. So what Titus is saying to the world, he's declaring to the world, he's saying, we have stopped you from churning out Jesus's, from churning out enlightened Egyptian hermetic wise people, and we're going to perpetuate the memory of this by giving you an idol historical Jesus, just to rub it in your faces. And what they did, according to Joseph Atwill, in his book Conspiracy to Invent Jesus, the Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus, Caesar's Messiah, what they did in effect was they took away the attention from these mystery schools and taught the plebeian masses, who were deeply plunged into the Dark Ages and severe loss of consciousness. And they snuffed out all of the schools. They burned down the library in Alexandria. They destroyed Carthage. They destroyed the Grecian schools. In fact, they attacked, more than anything, they attacked the Grecian schools and shut them down. Because the Grecians were the first syncretists of history. You see, the Greeks believed in syncretism. They believed that the Egyptians had the science. They believed that the Hindus and the Mithraics, they believed that everybody had the science because they were smart enough to understand that it's all one science. It's our science of ascension. And the sooner people wake up to that, the better. It is only detrimental for people to have a vicarious historical saviour for their saviour. It is absolute. It's a default on their own. It's running away from their own responsibility, like an Olympian who doesn't do any practice, he doesn't get the gold. Simple as that.
Brilliant. Yeah, definitely. Hey, well, there you go, Tom. The Greeks knew. Tom's Greek. The Greeks knew. There you go.
Well, I think they did.
Yeah, not that others didn't, but it's because the Greeks were powerful at the time, and they had all the schools set up, and they believed in republic, and a different kind of democracy that we have today, which is mob rule. So they believed in these things, and they pretty much lived by it. But that's simply because they were at the end of the Bronze Age. You see, Rome has never enjoyed that. Well, it has in the Republic days, you know, from 500 BCE. To say 200 BCE, there was a republic, and they did pretty much, it was not perfect, but they did pretty much believe in these principles of law. That's what republic means, rule or government by law. But empire changed all that. Empire is what is enslaving mankind.
Right, and these are individual laws of sovereignty. Those aren't laws of I rule over you and judge you. Those are, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'll respect my space as, you know, you respect your space. I won't enter your space without permission. You don't enter my space without permission. Those are the sorts of universal laws instead of the you did something bad, therefore we must punish you. But we can do all the stuff in the background, and nobody can punish us because we're the ruling class. See, that's the difference.
Yeah, yeah. And look, these sad days that we've just been passing and we're still in, these are called the times of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are the barbarians, according to the Greeks, barbaros, because bar is the sound that they make. You know, the Greeks thought that everybody else sounded like they were going bar. So they called them barbaros. So... yeah, well, this is the bourgeoisie scum elite. They are not elite in scruples, by the way. They are elite in money, elite economically. These are the non-aristocratic types that have insinuated themselves into the higher echelons of the upper classes, you see. And they masquerade as leaders and conscious good people who have the good of the people at their heart and they are always there to serve. No, they're not. They're serving themselves. These people are pirates and vampires and vultures that are leeching our wealth. And they do this through their cabal. Joseph Farrell, in his book Babylon's Banksters, I recommend that read. It talks about the four M's. Military, monarchies, money, and monotheism. Yeah, that's a cabal.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
It sounds like a cabal, looks like a cabal. It is a cabal.
Yeah, it's a cabal. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you a question. During watching one of your videos, I seen something come up, and I wanted to ask you about that. What are the priests of Baal?
Okay, well, Baal is the Phoenician name for El, and El is primarily Saturn. It can be Saturn, it can be the sun, because the sun is Helios. Now, the Jews call Saturn El, because the Jews are a Eloistic sect. You see, the seven major religions of the world are all devoted to a planet, one of the seven planets. You see, Christianity is supposed to be devoted to Jupiter, and the Jews are to Saturn, You see? So that's why they say that one is the mother and one is the father. The Jews say that the mother is the moon, the mother church is theirs, and that the Christians is the father, the son, because the Christians are also solar, you see? But always these orbs dominate the religions. Hermes is obviously dominated by the planet Mercury. So Buddhists, they will have their holy day on Wednesday, because Wednesday is the day devoted to Mercury.
Right.
The Muslims will have Friday, because that's their orb. And the Jews always have their Sabbath on Saturn day. So they are Elohistic, you see. So El, now, this is the interesting thing about the orbs. The true astrologers, who are basically the people, the elites know about astrology. You see, they know how important it is to be connected to astrology. Unfortunately, they use it for negative purposes and not for, you know, transmutation and for philosophy and wisdom. And so what they do is they know the influences of the orbs. You see, the sun has a great influence over us. You know, you go out to the sun for 20 minutes and naked and you'll have a good dose of vitamin D. You'll also have a whole bunch of photons go through all of your organs and they will vitalize them. The sun is vital. It is the vital principle of the solar system. Saturn is the exact opposite. Saturn takes away all of those good things that the sun gives. Saturn is the magnetic opposite. Saturn to the sun is what the moon is to the earth. The moon takes 29 and a half days to orbit. Saturn takes 29 and a half years to orbit.
Right.
They are doing the same thing. They have the same effect. As the earth is tugged by the magnetic moon, so is Saturn tugging the sun. You see, so they know how much power Saturn has, and how to harvest that power. So they harvest it. You see, their buildings are designed to receive the influx of negative magnetism from Saturn so that they can have more magic, more power. They are now more powerful, and they are able with their wands and spells and their magic rites and ceremonies, they are more able to invoke the negative spirits of Saturn and control your mind. This is why the Pope, when he comes to you, and the priests and the cardinals, what they do with their holy water and their crosses is they make a sign of a cross in front of you, right? Because they know that by marking out a cross in front of them, they are protecting themselves, because every symbol used has a negative side and a positive side.
Right.
The positive side of that cross reflects back to them. The negative side, that goes to you. So they're cursing you. What they've done is they've just stolen your force and they've just defused your aura and your power, and you are now under their bewitchment. These people are craftsmen of all sorts of evil, putrid vice. This is why they love little children. And they are people traffickers. I mean, what are they if they're not people traffickers? I mean, Kevin Annett's videos alone are proving that. Are proving how complicit the Uniting Church is with bloodshedding and culling the indigenous herd. They were right in there with them. There was not a Hermetist. There was never a Hermetist out there chopping off the heads of the Indians. They were all devoted Christians, because that's what they do. It is the elite's favorite death cult. It's a tool which absolutely serves their needs. And the moment, the day when corporate Christianity goes down, and it will, Babylon will fall in 1 hour, suddenly, and all those lurking demons will disappear from under her skirts. She is a whore and a killer. And when the money, the Federal Reserve money, dries out, which hopefully it will in the next few weeks, then they won't have money to pay their buffoons, their priests, and their foot soldiers to do all the killing in the earth, because it's all the Inquisition of the Vatican. Simple as that. The proof is there.
Right. On a good note, I think that the people are waking up, and I think that the Occupy movement and a whole bunch of other things are just signposts to that awakening of people discovering their own sovereignty and starting to realize. And films like Ungrip by Ben Stewart, and that features Rob of the Page family, and that the new film Thrive that's just come out, talking about the possibilities that are out there, that the suppression of free energy and the suppression of sovereignty and all of the things that are out there to keep you occupied. And, you know, we could have been beyond this long time ago, okay? Because if you look at the way the things are being controlled right now, the average person doesn't act like that to another person. We don't interact that way. We interact mostly, I would say, mostly in a friendly manner. These sorts of control and these sorts of things come from a mind that's separate, that's not inclusive.
Yeah, it's the animal mind.
Right.
And it's no use. Look, it's really no use, you know, pointing to the devil, the devil made me do it, or, you know, demon possession, or anything other than the fact that these people are basically the unevolved good. These are our brothers. They are our brothers. But they still haven't become conscious. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's the only ailment that this planet has at the moment. But where the sun is taking us, you see, the sun is spiraling in the heavens through the galaxy. It's a helix. The solar system is actually a vortex. It's not the planets do not go around the sun on the same plane. This is hocus pocus by the Vatican. It's the same, you know, it's as